I want to clear up some things that maybe you don't know, maybe you're not aware of. Some, I guess, over years now has been, I took myself off the platform. I asked Pastor to take me off the platform because of some cerebral issues that I was having. I thought were related to age or something. I have a history of migraines, painless migraines that cause unusual things to happen to me and lose my vision for part of the time. One time I couldn't walk. One time I didn't know I was in Guatemala in church, and I realized that I didn't understand not only what the man was saying in Spanish, but I didn't understand what my wife was saying in English. And I felt kind of faint and tried to get up, and I couldn't stand. And the brothers carried me out, got me in my car, drove me home. By the time I got home, I was fine. So I have a background, I have a history of this. And then I was being bothered by it, it seemed more frequently, different aberrations. One day when I was up here preaching, I lost part of my vision. And it was very, very uncomfortable to be standing in front of a congregation and all of a sudden lose part of your vision. And I would lose my place. Now, I'm telling you all this because I'm here and it might happen. I have had fewer recently. And I was so happy about it. And the other day I went to Food Lion and I went in. I had a list in my pocket, but just to be a show off, I went and got everything without looking at my list. And I said, cool. Da-da-da-da. And I got up to the checkout and I looked at the card machine. I was paralyzed. I could not get myself to do what I knew I had to do, what I've done 1,000 times. I stood there and stared at that thing, and I said, where's my list? And as God would have it, in his providence, the lady that was running the cash had a husband that acts funny like me. And she came right around, she came right out there. She said, don't worry. I know what's happening. I'll take care of this for you. And she did. And by the time I got to my car, I pushed my groceries out. By the time I got there, I was good. And I even remembered to put them in the car. Now, a few times I've been to the store and left them in the basket. And I go, I put the basket away and get in the car and go home. Not good. Don't do that. If you get a chance to do it, don't bother. It's not good. I did it twice in the same day, one time. I left stuff in the bottom of the, down in the bottom thing, loaded the top into the car, and I went away, came back, had to go in and say, and so we got it, it's here. And so it's the same day, I had the same thing happen. So anyway, I'm telling you that in case I go, you'll know I'm having a checkout moment when I'm trying to figure out what the next move is. I've brought my computer, I brought my Bible, I brought a printed version. My hearing aids are going south on me, but we'll be all right. The cyborg will make it. I had a lot of things I wanted to tell you, about 1,000 things I want to talk to you about. I'll try to limit it to 500. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, we have a story you all know. And one of the great things about preaching in this church, or most any church I go to, is that everything you know is enough. I'm not going to wow you with anything. You've all heard it before. You know the stories and all that. It's not anything you haven't heard. But I want to touch base with this because it touches on some familiar themes for us. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we're grateful to you for your provision, for your watch care over us. And I do ask God your blessings, Lord, on Tom and Carrie. Give them a great vacation, great time together. And we know, Lord, they are appreciated. I'm reminded that today it would be our 60th. I ask your blessings on this time. Amen. So a few things popped into mind as I was looking at this passage of Scripture. I just had some thoughts about it. So these, I'm telling you this in advance in case I go down a rabbit trail. This is why, okay? Themes, applications, and rabbit trails of this passage. Okay? This is another application of the broad way and the narrow way. This is another evidence of worship wars. This is the birth of the battle between the conservatives and the liberal. This is sort of tongue-in-cheek, the birth of medical and forensic science. The blood speaketh. Remember? The blood speaketh from the earth. And the blood does speak medically, and it does speak forensically. The blood does speak. And it not only does it speak from the earth, of Abel's blood speak from the earth, but there's also blood that speaks of our redemption. So we have the blood that testifies against the unbeliever, and we have the blood that testifies for the believer in Christ. The blood that speaks and the question is, which blood speaks for you? These are rabbit trails, by the way. I don't intend to develop these things, but I thought in case I happen to slip over there, you ought to know why. Sin always reaches up to heaven. Here you have the cry of that wicked city has gone up to heaven, and that's where prayers go. And that's where sin goes too. God knows about that sin. And I wondered as I read this passage, and I said, the cry of that evil city, of that wicked city, has gone up to heaven. Who's crying? There weren't 10 believers in that town. Where is that cry coming from? Is wickedness in and of itself crying out? We don't know. But there's at least two instances of this pictured in the scriptures for us. The blood of Abel foreshadows the blood of Christ. I thought of another great message for this, the day the mercy, title for it, the day the mercy stopped. The day the mercy stopped. It developed that one. You can use these preachers if you want to. Another one on that same theme, no grace for Cain. God's sovereignty. He's sovereign. He says, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. But here's an illustration where there's two brothers of the two parents. The first sinner born on earth gets no grace. God's sovereign. He does what he wants. Cain's doom. What was Cain's punishment? What was Cain's punishment? Well, I know there's a lot of them been invented by preachers, so I thought I'd add my own. Do you realize that Cain knew he was not going to be in fellowship with God anymore, ever? There was no possibility of it. He had no grace. He knew he was going to die and go to hell. And he knew there was never going to be an opportunity when it could be saved. My punishment is more than I can bear. No repentance. I'm just sorry that I got all this punishment. And he's driven out. He goes away. He's away. And nothing happens. But every day, he knows there's no hope for him. There's no chance of anything else happening. That's my idea. Okay? As I say, these are rabbit trails. Some of it is highly speculative. And that's okay. I get away with it. I'm old. Adam and Eve learned the cost of their sin. We'll see that developed a little bit. They lost two sons. What Eve thought and what she brought. The Lord said, I'm going to bring a deliverer into the world through the seed of the woman. And Eve said, I've gotten the man from the Lord. I think she believed she got the deliverer. I thought she said, it's all over. We're going to be back in the garden next week. I think those were her expectations. I mean, it's not a stretch, because God had made her a promise that she was going to deliver the deliverer. The sin that we hate most in our children is ours. Our besetting sin, when we see it in our children, we really, 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 really chase us the wrong way. Can you imagine the reminders to Adam and Eve as they saw this cataclysm continue in their family? He was the first sinner born on earth, we've already mentioned. He was begotten in the image of his father, Adam. Adam was begotten in the image of God, but Cain and Abel were begotten in the image of their father, Adam. In whose image are we begotten? We have to remember whose children we are and our proclivity to do as our first parents did. I want you to think with me about some things related to this story. Adam and Eve were the first parents. They were the first couple married. They didn't have sex education. They didn't have all the benefits of a good liberal government school education. So somehow they managed to have children. They managed to do it. So, and they had children, and they were the first parents. So the first family. And they are the closest to the fountain of creation. God created them. So you would think, if anybody's going to get it right, they're going to get it right. And they don't. They don't. And the one good child is the child that's the victim, and the bad child, they lost both of them. Lost both of them. Well, of course, they homeschooled. They were the first homeschoolers, and they raised their children at home, and they schooled at home. And this may point to either success or failure, depending on which child you point to. And it always does, huh? It always does. What tears of regret that was shed, do you suppose, when they sat with their children, however many they had? We don't know how many were contemporary with Cain and Abel, but there probably were several. But they would, when they would talk about what life was like in the garden of God. You know, Abel comes in now, God said, what? You're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your face. And he comes in, and the water's dripping off him, and his hair's all a mess, and the red dirt is sticking to him, and he comes in and he flops down, and his kids look over at him and said, this was the viceroy of God in the Garden of Eden? God created that? They told the story about that being given dominion over everything. And Adam may have told the story like I like to tell it, or I like to see it. He may have told it this way. I had the scepter of God. I ruled all of creation. And I put it down. And I took the fruit your mother was giving me and ate it. The kids heard these stories. They heard what happened to their parents and why it happened. They knew who God was. They heard it. They believed it. Or at least Abel did. They told the story I think Abel told it this way. He said, I made a promise to your mother. I told her I would never forsake her. And when she took that apple, she left me. She went where I couldn't go. And where she was, she couldn't come back. So I took it. So I could be with her and keep the promise I made to her. Where Jesus is, we can't go. He came here. Eve was taken out of his side to make a bride. Christ's side was pierced, and he's making a bride. He's calling out a bride. He came to us so we could go to him. I think that's how Abel told it. They learned about Satan from their mother. Satan beguiled me. He came and he offered me the greatest offer. God had given us dominion. Satan was offering us our own kingdom. We could be God ourselves. Like a good deal. So they surely heard these stories. They heard the accounts. They saw the tears, perhaps as Dad was looking out on his garden, remembering the garden he lost. The angel stood guard at the entrance to the garden with a flaming sword, turning whichever way to keep them out of the garden. That was the grace of God. Because if they'd gone back in the garden and eaten of the tree of eternal life, they would have lived forever as sinners. They had to die physically to go to heaven. Well, God protected them from the tree of eternal life as sinners. They told the story about God scolding them for their fig leaves and slaying animals and making clothes for them out of skins. And somehow God was accepted that covering, and they would learn, because in the process of time they're going to, in Genesis 4, in the process of time they're going to offer blood sacrifice. So they certainly would think back and say, oh, that's why we're covered with this animal skins, is because it requires blood. And I think they put those skins on. I don't think they were scraped and tanned. I think they put them on and there was still blood on it. And there was still bits of flesh hanging off the skins. And they put those things on. And that blood, not the animal blood, but looking forward to Christ, provided a covering for them. And I think as they wore those skins, that what was left of that flesh and that blood began to stink and putrefy. And they smelled the smell of death about them. Paul cries out in Romans 7, who shall, what is it, not save me, what is that word? Who, from this body of death? Who will rescue me from this body of death? So Paul is experiencing the same thing. In fact, I don't know if this is apocryphal or true, but there's a story about one way of the Romans executed their fellow soldiers. where they would take the dead body of the victim and tie it to the man that committed the crime. Hand for hand, foot for foot, leg for leg. And he wore that guy until he rotted off. And of course it took him with him, eventually, from the disease and so forth, putrefaction. And Paul may have been seeing that. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? The good that I would do, I do not, and that which I would not do, that I do. Who will deliver me? Not what, but who? He's not looking for a system. He's not looking for a self-help book. He's looking for a who. Who will deliver? Cain is going to live in Romans 7. All the rest of his time is never going to get to Romans 8. Never going to get there. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Oh, he's never going to get there. If you're a Christian, you did. You did. Christ is our Savior. Oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Do you ever say that? You ladies, so you can say it, it's okay, because it's generic, you know. It's okay. It really does refer to both. Guys is also one of those things that's always been neuter, but everybody used it for men. Oh, wretched man that I am. Do you ever come to that? Do you ever see that? Oh, mercy. I see it so many times. So many times. Two men went up to worship. One, I say, was a Sadducee, and the other was a publican. Not a Republican, a publican. And the Sadducee didn't believe in the supernatural. He didn't believe in the resurrection. He didn't believe in any of that good stuff. In fact, they were probably the first liberals. So we have a liberal, and the publican knew he was a sinner. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He owned his sin. He was like the centurion that said, you shouldn't come in my house. Abel, publican, he says, I know what I am, and I know what I've been told to do, and that's what I'm going to do. Cain says, pooey. My carrots are better than any old lamb of any day of the week. What's Cain a picture of? He's a picture of self-willedness. I'm going to do it my way. I got my own religion. I don't need all that hocus pocus of Christianity. I don't need any Bible. I'll do it my way. I'm as spiritual as you are. I'll do it my way. That's what Cain's about. You remember in Exodus 32 where Moses is on the mountain getting the law, the moral law, God, two tablets written, it says, with the finger of God. He's up there getting that. So the people that are Israel, going to be Israel someday maybe, they're down there below waiting for Moses to show up. Moses doesn't show. It goes, a month goes by, and he's not back. Well, God's not in a hurry. He's a very careful writer, you know. He's got to exegete what he wrote, so Moses will get it. Oh, yeah, don't worry, there'll be a benediction. He'll come down. So, what do? They go to Aaron. And they say, Aaron, make us gods to go before us. okay, give me your gold. Well, they took their earrings. You know, they spoiled Egypt when they came out, so they had fresh offer. They had plenty. So they gave him his gold, and he made a molten calf and engraved it. Oh, pretty nice. Good work. Good work, Eric. Good work. And you know, he says, when he presents it, he says, tomorrow there'll be a feast unto the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Right name, wrong God. Gonna do it their way. Gonna do it their way. Gonna do it the people's way. The vote. Well, the pastor's really conservative, but gee, he went to such a liberal church. He's just he just hadn't won them over yet. Gonna do it their way. The Laodicean church. The church of the people's rights. It's not deacons' money. It's run by two families. You've heard stories about it. I know it's never happened to you, but you've heard stories about it, I'm sure. So the people say, this is Aaron's excuse, the people told me to do this, and so I did it. Well, there goes the Ten Commandments. Moses, when Moses came down the hill, and he said, what is that I hear? And one of the deacons was with him. He says, oh, it sounds like a battle going on down there. He says, no, this is not a sounds of men that strive in war. He said, they're having a party down there. They rose up to play, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. If you got teenagers having parties in your house and they rose up to play, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing. You don't want your house used on it. And so Moses comes down there, and he's angry, and he wants to throw something, and the only thing he's got is in his hand is the law of God. And he throws it, and he smashes it to pieces. Well, the people are smashing it to pieces over there. He smashes it to pieces. So Cain's going to do it his way. Be all right. And if we'd left him go, he would have got several more of the children to join his little church. The Church of the Sanctified Carrot. We would have got him over there. They would have had tracts passed out. This carrot will save. We'll send you a tract written on a lettuce leaf. Put it in your window. You'll be well. That's how this stuff gets started, you know. Look at chapter 4 and verse 3 in the process of time. It had happened. Things had been understood a little bit better. And now they understood about the altar and about the offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. The firstlings. So if you bring the firstlings, you're bringing the ones that were born first. You're bringing the, and you don't know if there's going to be any more born, because these are your firstlings. So by faith, you're bringing the first fruit that God provides, in confidence and showing confidence that you have God is going to provide you with more. And he brings the firstlings. He brings the best. And he offers it according to what he understood from the animal skins and what his father had taught him and what they had been able to come to understand about a blood offering, a substitute. Later on, this will all be codified. But now, and look what it says, God's response. in verse 4, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. They ever looked at anybody and said, oh, they're angry. I say, what are you angry about? I'm not angry. Doesn't bother me. Huh? What's bothering you? Nothing. You can see, all over Cain's face. He's not happy. God's rejected him. God doesn't have to accept everything. He doesn't have to accept anything. He is God. We are not. We keep trying to make life about ourselves. It's not about us. It's about him. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we'll be. The more glory God will get, and the more comfortable we'll be in our skin. It's about him. And he's angry at God because God doesn't like his vegetables. God has specified, he's given them an example, and he specified. There was two other guys that wanted to go their way. They were going to do their own thing too. Nadab and Abihu. Is that right? Am I saying that right? Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus 10, I think it is. Did you guys, anybody name any of their boys Nadab or Abihu? Don't bother. Don't do that. Don't do that to them. Okay? These were Aaron's children. And they were priests. They had a Aaronic priesthood. And they go and they bring strange fire. So there's several ways we can understand that, I guess. But the incense that was used in the holy place was made by an apothecary, and it had a specific formula. And it was a secret formula that only the people that made it knew. And that was the incense that you used when you went in the holy place. And Nadab and Abihu took strange fire. They went in with something else, and God killed them. Boom, just like that. Down they went. God told Aaron, he says, don't you cry. Don't you mourn those boys. They're wicked. Don't you mourn. I don't know how they ever got them out of there. But they drug them out of there. Some priest had to go in there and drag them out of there. And they buried them. Like that. God said, you're going to do this, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is how you're going to do it every time. God's very specific about worship that he accepts and that he doesn't accept. And the world is full of churches, in quotes, that are offering unacceptable worship. The people have made the worship about themselves. It's what I get out of it. What do I get out of it? I want to tell you something. If you happen to be here some Sunday morning when worship actually happens, you'll get plenty out of it. And God lifts us out of this place away from our self-consciousness for a few minutes to be with him in his words through his man. When that happens, you know you've done the right thing. Oh, you can. Have 17 choruses of Just As I Am, and beg people to move, and so on and so forth. Or you can worship the God that created us. You can worship. Well, see, you burned through that time without getting through the message. That was good. Did good, preacher. Okay, listen, we gotta get him dead. Okay? We can get him dead in the next 5 minutes. We gotta kill Abel off. God had no respect, and Cain was very wroth. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? if thou doest well, if thou doest well, if you do what's right, if you do what you know you're supposed to do, if thou doest well. Thou shalt not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And they shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain is given one more chance. You can get it right. You get it right. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. So the first child, not a deliverer, but a murderer, tried to go his own way and ended up going his own way. The place prepared for him. Cain, the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? I know not. It's a lie. Am I my brother's keeper? So Cain's in court right now. The Lord doesn't ask questions he doesn't know the answer to. God's never looking for information when he asks a question. He's waiting for us to wake up. He's waiting. He's giving us a chance to own up to some stuff. What have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. God says, I know what you did. I know where you did it. And that righteous boy's blood is crying out to me for vengeance. The blood speaks. It speaks from the cross, or it speaks from the ground. But God knows where it is. He knows what you've done. He knows where you did it. And there's another blood. And we can get those things under his blood. We can receive Christ as our Savior. We can be born again. We can be forgiven of the sin. And we can put all of that. Cain could have done that. Maybe. But apparently not. Because there was no grace for him. There was no grace. We can't be sentimental about the truth because it's not about us. It's about God. How does God get glory to himself? By being God. The God that is, not the God we want. He is who he is. And he's not going to change. We better be happy with who he is and the grace he's shown us. Is not that grace magnified? The grace that you've received, don't you understand how fortunate you are to have the grace of God? Because we could be Cain. Do we deserve it? No. Do we deserve what Cain got? Yes. Doesn't it magnify God's grace and goodness? Isn't he worthy? Isn't he worthy? Father, we find you worthy. We find ourselves guilty. We thank you for all the undeserved blessings that you've given us. Lord, as we celebrate this table, we celebrate it, Lord, as a memorial to your grace and your goodness, for the provision that you've made to reveal yourself to us. No better than Cain, but blessed beyond all measure. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.